Hello and welcome to this National Life Skills Academy podcast, part of our series of short introductions to essential life-worthy skills to help guide your way. So sit back and enjoy.
So insomnia is very simply not getting a really good night's sleep. Now, the importance of sleep is something we've spoken about before because it allows our bodies to rest and repair. And therefore, when something interrupts it, it can be incredibly damaging. Insomnia is a condition where individuals find it difficult to either go to sleep or to stay asleep. And this can lead to many problems besides just general tiredness. There are ways to hopefully stop it, allowing you to get the sleep you need to be the healthiest and the happiest you can be. Pretty much, there are three types of insomnia. Studies suggest that approximately up to 30% of the population suffer from this. Insomnia isn't just one single condition necessarily, and just like most physical and mental conditions that people can suffer from, it would be unwise to categorise them all as the same thing. With insomnia, there are three main types. Transient insomnia. Now, this is usually short-lived. It doesn't last a long time. Most people who suffer from transient insomnia will only experience it once or twice, and it doesn't usually reoccur. Typically, transient insomnia lasts for less than a week and is usually caused by general bad sleeping habits. Now, this could mean getting too little sleep or too much, experiencing jet lag or consistent disruptions like other people being noisy and traffic, or poor sleeping conditions such as the room being just too bright. Sometimes, however, transient insomnia can be caused from recent stress. Of course, depending on the severity of the stress, can determine whether it's transient or something more serious. But stress, albeit small ones, can be a cause of experiencing transient insomnia. And then there's acute insomnia, which can be known as short-term insomnia or adjustment insomnia, and it's the most common type of insomnia in the world. Whereas transient only lasts for a few days or a week, acute insomnia covers a larger time span. Anyone who can experience insomnia for more than a week, but less than 3 months, is usually considered to suffer from acute insomnia. While transient insomnia is mostly caused by poor sleep patterns and schedules, acute insomnia is more influenced by the stressful side. And these stresses are also more serious than the ones that can cause transient insomnia. Major life changes tend to be considered as more serious stress. For example, moving location, moving home, the death of a loved one, or a serious medical diagnosis, to name a few. At this point, there are usually two paths which people can end up going down. Either the body naturally adjusts to the stress and it becomes normal, like finally setting down in a new location, and therefore symptoms disappear over time. But on the other side of the coin, they don't. And what was once considered to be acute insomnia can turn into chronic insomnia. Now, this is a longer lasting type of insomnia. It typically shares the same symptoms as acute insomnia, but it lasts longer than 3 months. And the causes of which can manifest, they can get worse over time and become quite bad. Insomnia is usually given the label of chronic if it occurs on average 3 or more times a week for over perhaps 3 months. Both chronic and acute insomnia are more prevalent in females for some reason, and the longer lasting it is, the more difficult it can be to overcome. Now, whilst these are the three main types of insomnia, there are others that have been identified by people who suffer from this condition. Behavioural insomnia is a category that deals with many children suffering from insomnia as their schedules change drastically as they grow older. And likewise, insomnia can also be caused from substance abuse in adults with drinks or drugs or caffeine, for example, resulting in another category to define this condition. Like I said, with potentially over 2 billion people suffering from it worldwide, it's resulted in the necessity to categorise the types for researchers' benefits as well as the individuals. Now, what about the symptoms and any cures? Well, at first glance, sleeping conditions might not seem as bad as other mental conditions that people have to deal with, but this is a misconception. Sleep is vital to our health and well-being. Now, doctors recommend on average we all need to get around 7 or 8 or 9 hours of sleep, although this number can change depending on other factors like age and physical condition. Regardless of how much sleep is recommended, it's what happens during your sleep that's what's needed to maintain your health. During sleep, our bodies are given time needed to repair and to rest, and during it, they release hormones needed for cell repair. Our brains can become stronger and we gain better thinking capabilities. We get sick less, often due to stronger immune systems, and constant, decent sleep can reduce the chance of developing serious health problems like obesity and diabetes. And this is why sleep is so important, and knowing what the benefits are can help potentially spot a symptom of insomnia. Now, there are times when we all feel tired when we get up, but this doesn't mean that we're suffering from a sleep condition. It just means we're still a bit tired. If these signs are persistent, continue, and are clearly affecting your everyday life, then it could be a sign of something more serious. When we are lacking in sleep, it's often because something is keeping us awake, whether it's stress or external factors like noise. Whatever it might be, this could lead to developing insomnia. There are many different symptoms that may be a potential sign of insomnia, besides waking up in the night or finding it difficult to go to sleep. These can include loss of memory, lack of concentration and motivation, irritability, frequent headaches, or lowering performance levels. These are serious of themselves, but if left untreated and allowed to fester, to get worse, these symptoms, alongside a consistent lack of decent sleep, can lead to a potential for serious mental illness like depression and anxiety. This is why it's important to notice when something is wrong. If you've noticed yourself feeling these symptoms, then you may have developed a sleep condition. But this isn't the end of the world. At the end of the day, insomnia is a sleep condition. Therefore, the best way to overcome it is to improve the quality of your sleep. Now, this may be easier said than done, given that sleep works like a routine in that the more you do it, the easier and more effective it becomes. But the main reason why people suffer insomnia is because they lack good sleep. What's great about improving your sleep is that you don't have a condition for it to improve. Even if you get 8 hours every day with ease, you can still improve it. Here are just a few ways that sleep can be improved. Routine. As I mentioned, sleep works like a routine. So to improve the quality, improve the routine. Set yourself a strict bedtime and try to follow it. What many people try to do is go to bed at 12 o'clock at night and then at 3:30 the next. This is incredibly unhelpful, especially for students who need their brains in tip-top condition. Your body needs to do many things when you're asleep, and if you're constantly changing the times when that happens, then your body can't carry out those functions with the same effectiveness. Your body has a natural clock, and that clock is affected by your routine. If you go to bed whenever, but always waking up at the same time, then there's going to be nights when your body is unable to complete the tasks it needs to do while you're asleep. And this is what leads to sleep deprivation and then insomnia down the line. A routine is key, so important. But being strict and following it to the best of your ability is what it all depends on. This is related to our Circadian Rhythms podcast. Have a listen to that. It's all about natural clocks. Relaxation. Just because you're strict with your routine doesn't mean that you can't enjoy sleep. Our brains are hardwired to work. From the minute we wake up, they're going at 100 miles a minute, carrying out as many as 100 billion operations every second. And this is why it's important for you to learn how to relax. Our brains are very easily influenced from caffeine and phone screens. And by indulging in these, what you're doing is activating your brain when it should be starting to wind down and relax for the day. Before you go to bed, you'll want to reduce your brain's activity. And this can be done in many ways, like reading a book or listening to gentle, soothing music. We all have our relaxation methods and choices, but the best ones when it comes to sleep are the ones that don't engage us. Instead, they let us simmer down and slow down. Also, your environment. Your environment is everything, and the good thing is it can be slightly adjusted to suit your personal preferences. What should be said, though, is that sleeping wherever every day of the week isn't helpful. Find out what works for you. Make sure the temperature is right and adjust it if it isn't. Make sure the noise is the correct volume. Studies have shown that listening to soft, very mellow music can improve the quality of some people's sleep. But only do this if it works for you. The one thing that should not be present during sleep, though, is light. Light, whether it's man-made or natural, sends a message to your body that you shouldn't be sleeping. We as a species are not nocturnal. We're not designed to live at night, being that we move, eat, and socialize during the day. Sleeping with lights on can confuse our brain, as even though we may be asleep, we will still have the stimuli that senses this light and therefore influence the quality of our sleep. Now, obviously, insomnia isn't a good condition to suffer from. It can disrupt and disturb your sleep, which in turn can affect the quality of your life. And this is why, in order to avoid this from happening, it's important to realize what the symptoms are and what you can change, so that you can live your happiest, healthiest life. So that's a brief explanation of insomnia, and it's only really a problem if you're not getting enough sleep, and your body will react in a very weary way, and you'll be sluggish at school or college. You will feel unwell, and it cannot continue. So find what's working and what isn't working for you. With my own kids, what I've noticed as they've gone through school and uni is that they stay up at night quite late looking at their screens, and that is possibly the worst thing you can do. That screen is very, very bright, and your brain isn't then wired to go to sleep for a long time after you switch it off, by which time you're so exhausted, you usually just flop, and then you can't get up in the morning. Well, that's not good for anybody. So, from decades of experience and working with thousands of young people, I would suggest to you what I suggest to drivers and people who are learning to drive. Get used to putting your phone in the back of the car, in the trunk, in the boot, so you can't hear it ringing, and if you do hear it ringing, you can't reach for it. And it's exactly the same thing when you're trying to go to sleep. Leave your phone downstairs, switch it off, make the very conscious decision, no more phone, I now need to be asleep within 30 minutes. Go upstairs, lower the lights, perhaps read a book slowly, but you'll fall asleep reading a book. You'll sleep quite well. But get that phone out of the way and make it a habit. One of our major problems we've got in life is the bad habits we form and breaking them. Okay, think about that. Try it for a couple of weeks. You'll sleep much better, I guarantee it. Bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found that to be informative, and you'll sign in to listen to others in the series. We look forward to any requests or feedback. See you again soon.